Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Canadian jazz guitarist and composer James Brown. He took some time from his home base in Canada to discuss his new 2020 CD, Song Within the Story. The album is his fourth as a solo artist, and it signifies a return from a 13-year recording hiatus. It comes out officially on March 18th, 2022 on NGP Records. He was born in Oakville, Ontario, and his grandparents were musicians. He followed in their footsteps, and at the age of 13, he began taking guitar lessons and eventually going to Toronto's Royal Conservatory of Music. His story is one you should hear. Enjoy.
Well, hey, thanks for taking a minute out. I appreciate it. And, you know, I guess the big thing right now, the elephant in the room, the big story is, we've been dealing with COVID. There's been, you know, very limited live music for the last 2 years. And now you have a new album, Song Within the Story, and a chance to promote and perform live and just to have music out now, hopefully, when the world wakes up. How does this release feel for you?
Well, it feels pretty good. We recorded the album during COVID, so there was a little bit of tension actually going into the studio because at the time, you know, we were wondering how safe it was going to be, and there was actually... there was even the threat of the saxophone player not being able to commit to doing it. So we were sort of, I was sort of on pins and needles just getting into the studio. And then when we got there, we actually had the saxophone player in a separate room, and we were just basically recording with a video feed to sort of get cues from him. So it was a real COVID experience in the studio. But it feels great. I mean, last summer there was a bit of a break. We got a chance to play live a little bit, and then we got shut down again. But now it's got, you know, dates booked, and I'm sort of looking at doing a tour in the fall. And with the new record out, it feels really great just to have something fresh out. And I think people are really dying to get out and hear live music, so I think the timing is good.
This is a real, it's a very rich, powerful album, and I'm curious, what are you hoping the listener gets from this experience?
You know, but my compositions, my output as a composer is always in the foreground for me. You know, this is my fourth album of original jazz material. You know, I'm always trying to present my best work, and I'm very, you know, I'm proud of what I've accomplished compositionally. You know, I don't write tons and tons of music. I guess at this point I have quite a collection of original pieces, but I've always strived for quality. So yeah, just a presentation of what I've been up to for the last 10 years compositionally. Some of the pieces on this album are freshly written from during the last year, and some of them are older pieces that have been around for a bunch of years. Yeah, I'm also looking to, you know, I'm proud of this album, or I like this album because it features more of my guitar playing, more of my electric guitar playing. Most of the album is trio, which is a new format for me on a record where it's just guitar, bass, and drums, which is a classic jazz trio format that I've always loved. And so I'm hoping that they'll get a little more taste of what I can do as a guitar player.
You know, during this time of, you know, quarantine and limited shows and being kind of inside, what did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger as we reemerge and you promote this new album and play live music?
Well, I mean, it sort of strengthened my resolve to be a musician, to be a composer, to be an artist in this world. I mean, there was a lot of talk in social media of artists sort of hanging their hat up and just giving up and saying, oh, there are no more gigs. I'm going to look for a new career. And whenever I saw read posts like that, I thought, well, what are you doing that for? I mean, like, you know, I'm in this for the long haul. I made a choice when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, that I was going to be a musician. I was going to be an artist in this world, and it's just sort of strengthened my resolve. This is what I do, and you know, in time when times are financially rough, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to keep going.
So let's go back to your beginnings here. You were born in Ontario, and your grandmother and grandfather were musicians. So you kind of followed in a familial path that already had musicians. So talk to me a little bit about how you really got into jazz more specifically and how music started for you.
Well, it started for me as a 13-year-old kid who had, you know, I'd taken piano lessons. But when I discovered the guitar at age 13, it was because of rock and, you know, rock music. It was Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and you know, Neil Young. And that's what gravitated me towards music. It was just the fact that I could pick up a six-string guitar and play chords, play tunes, and that was what it was all about. I thought that was the coolest thing. And it's funny, one of the early pieces that I learned as a kid on the guitar is actually on this album. It's a version of Neil Young's The Needle and the Damage Done. So that tune in particular is sort of a full circle for me. It harkens back to when I first picked up the guitar and first learned how to play.
So what was the first live jazz show you ever saw that really made you think, wow, I'd love to do that?
Well, actually, I remember the first live jazz show I heard as a kid was Mo Kaufman. I came into Toronto as a kid for a music. It was a music conference or show that, you know, guitar makers and people who were selling gear sort of assembled in Toronto, and they had some live entertainment. And I remember hearing the Mo Kaufman Quintet, and I believe, I'm pretty sure Ed Bickert, the great Ed Bickert, was playing in that band. That was the first time I heard anybody do jazz, and it was a revelation to me. It wasn't like I loved jazz immediately, but it just the fact that they were up there playing this improvised music, and there was modern tunes and standards, and that was the first time.
Talk to me a little bit about how your career has kind of taken off. You know, you went to you studied music in Toronto, and how did your kind of migration into the professional world and to today work for you? How did things kind of progress?
Well, I took lessons at the Royal Conservatory, and I was headed, you know, after being a kid, you know, wanting to be a rock star, I got into classical guitar and classical music quite heavily. It seemed that was a good way to go. So I became a classical guitar buff, and I really studied hard and practiced, and that was my entry into the professional world. I was playing concerts and doing gigs as a classical guitarist, and teaching music and just sort of, you know, just being a musician and working at it. And it wasn't until my early 20s that I switched into jazz. So it was a bit later on that I switched into jazz. And then there was a steep learning curve. Suddenly I was back to square one almost and learning this new style of music. But there was something about the improvisation that just, I had to figure it out. I had to kind of make the switch. And then since then, I just, a combination of teaching and performing and recording and arranging music and, yeah, just sort of making a go of it.
So what do you like the best about being a professional musician? You know, every day you get to, you know, compose or play and create music. What is it that you like the best about this process?
Well, I think it's the combination of performing, composing, and teaching. It's that combination of where, you know, my professional life influences my teaching and my students and vice versa. And I think, you know, in the background, it's always this original, my original work as a composer is kind of always there. And that's kind of my basic passion throughout it all. But yeah, I guess it's the variety of those things.
So what have you learned from the elders that you played around on stage that you in turn have taken and try to teach to the younger players and students that you get around?
I think just to have a good positive attitude about playing music. And, you know, the one thing that I try to teach through example is to not be critical of other styles of music or other musicians, and just be supportive and be, look for the good stuff that's in everybody's playing and everybody's music. And yeah, you know, I can think of one great musician that I've had a chance to record with and play with over the years, Don Thompson, who's a Toronto-based piano bass player, vibes player. I'm not sure if you might have heard of him, but I had a chance to work with him quite a bit, and he plays piano on my last record. And he had that, you know, I've learned that directly from him. He was incredibly, still is, very supportive of younger talent. He's always looking to hire and work with younger players, and just has a positive attitude about music in general. And you know, it comes out in his playing because he's brilliant. So that's kind of, I've learned that from Don, and I'm trying to do that myself.
So if you could get into a jazz DeLorean and go back in time and see a jazz musician live, in any era, at any time, who are you going to go see?
That's a good question. There's so many. I mean, just off the top of my head, Wes Montgomery. I would love to be able to go back in time and show up at a club in Chicago or wherever and just see it, witness a night of music making by Wes Montgomery. That would be fabulous.
Speaking of live music, when we do return and get back to it, What do you hope we all realize about the power of live music, both musician and the audience, when we return to it?
The power of live music. Well, it's a social event. I mean, I was at a club just this past Tuesday night here in Toronto and heard the great Rob Pilch play guitar, and I was amazed at how packed the club was. People were just dying to get it. There was standing room only. It's just this event, social event, where you have an appreciative audience listening intensely to what the performers are doing, and there's this give and take between the performers, this appreciation, mutual appreciation, which I think is beautiful. And I think also the quality of sound you get in a live performance really does speak to the art of music. I mean, it's we have recordings and we're so used to hearing music on our phones and MP3s, and when you're live, you hear the sound, you know, so much clearer and so much more. There's so much more to the sound, and I think that's one of the things about live music too.
My final question is this: everyone has an idea of who they think you are, a perception, your family, your friends, your fans, your students, but ultimately you live your life, you have a perception of who you are. Who do you think you are?
Oh boy, I guess I'm just a regular guy who sort of became addicted to making music. Yeah, I'm just a regular, unassuming person who just loves the craft of composing and loves the craft of improvising on my instrument.
James, thank you for opening up. Thanks for talking about the new music and your life and music. Good luck with everything as we move forward.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Toronto, Kansas City, Ontario, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to James for his time, energy, and music. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino on the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.